Make Me Smart is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
We can start. It's the time.
I'm ready.
We can go.
All right, so I'll go right there.
Gotta reshape it first. Wait, I'm probably supposed to go first, aren't I? Hello,
you
everybody.
Go first. Yes.
I was too busy getting my hat together, but. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Make Me Smart, where we make today make sense. It's Friday, May 3rd. I'm trying to get my hat right because obviously got to get ready for the Derby, but the
Good
headphones
for you. That's great.
Are kind of...
Yeah, headphones you know. Are tricky. You should get a little earbuds. Excuse me. Hang on a minute. I'm going to cough. Yeah. Hold on.
We did not
I swallowed my coffee
together.
Wrong. Anyway, I'm Kai Rosdahl. Thanks for joining us on the podcast, the YouTube live stream, if you are there. We will do what we usually do on a Friday, a little happy hour, a little economics on tap, and that's the way we roll on a Friday.
Yeah, I think you're right. This is going to stretch my hat out too much, and
yeah,
I have to wear it
that.
Tomorrow, so no. Anyway, we are going to do, as usual, some news, we'll take a break, and then we will play a game. But before, we got to talk our drinks, and of course, because it's Derby Day tomorrow, I have a mint julep, which I made with mint from my garden. Yes, what are you drinking?
Did you? Oh, good for you. I'm having a cup of coffee in my Puyabic mug, because I got some things to do this afternoon for which I need to be not beard up, which is kind of too bad, but you know.
Fair enough.
You know. Yeah.
All right. Let's see what other folks are drinking.
Mike Marsh has a Salty Crew, a boat beer. Marvin Ramirez has a Chopin vodka martini with blue cheese olives.
Tamara, I always forget, is it Tamara or Tamara? And forgive me if I get it wrong. Well, has a sweet red blend
Tamara
from
Keith.
Ménage à Trois. It's not Tamara Keith. I always think about Tamara
it
Keith.
It is Tamara Keith.
No,
it's not the Tamara Keith in our chat, but it's Tamara Keith.
Yes, I know, but it's Tamara Keith. But then I don't know if she says her name Tamara or Tamara. So, my bad. But anyway, drinking a sweet red blend from Ménage à Trois. And Tim has a dank little thing IPA, hazy IPA even. And it's the same as Tamara Keith. So it is Tamara. Great. There we go.
Yeah. Evil Genius 007 says, what's the silly alternative name for those fancy hats that technically aren't hats? Fascinators is what
Fascinators.
They're called, which I don't understand.
Look
How did that
at
happen?
You, Kai.
I know. Get
Because they're fascinating to look at.
I don't think that's it. That's too easy. That's too easy.
It is too easy.
Willie, come on.
Oh, gotta let a puppy in?
I had to let Willie in, yeah. You know.
Yeah, and Jasper's coming over to have a look at you.
Yeah.
I moved my mic to the other side just so he could have a better view. Anyway,
well, shall we?
Let's do some news. Yes,
All
what's
right.
your news?
So mine, I saw this online in the New York Times maybe 18 hours, 24 hours ago. That's the thing about getting your news on the internet versus in print, is that it comes at different times and you kind of get messed up. Anyway. So super interesting piece, somewhat dorky, about how Southern Europe now, Spain, Portugal, and Greece specifically, are the economic engines driving European growth, and that Germany is the laggard. And in fact, the Times says the Germans got complacent with their economic growth, which led them to be dependent on Russian gas and all kinds of things. And that's super interesting because less than 10 years ago, right, 2015, it was all about how Greece was going to be ring-fenced and they were going to isolate it and maybe throw it out of the euro, the single currency, and Spain and Portugal were the poor men of Europe and they had to get bailed out and all this jazz. And now, less than 10 years later, they've been through their austerity budgets. They've fixed the corruption problem. They fixed most of their pension problems. Tourism is booming and those economies are leading Europe economically. And that to me is just totally, totally fascinating. It's just wild.
Did they say why?
Yeah, because they did all the really hard stuff. They did the austerity. They fixed corruption. They did the pensions. And tourism is, you know, after the pandemic and all that jazz, everybody wants to get the hell out. They're all going and spending time in Spain, Portugal, and Greece. Right. And they're warmer. That's right. Yeah.
Yes. And I mean, and that's a good point, because Germany and France and the others, they didn't have to do those pension reforms. And I think the pension reforms are huge. And that's
enormous.
Really coming to get them now. And this is actually a looming crisis here in the United States as well. But that's topic for a whole other show.
1,000%.
Yeah. Actually, we should do something on pensions at some point. Let's add that to the deep dive list.
So yeah, we should do like public sector pensions, right? Because those
that's what I mean.
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, so my news is about menopause, which apparently we need to be saying more out loud, because as Halle Berry said, along with a bunch of other senators, we need to destigmatize menopause. And so there was a big press conference this week on the Hill about new legislation that wants to put $275 million towards research and education around menopause. And I'm reading here from the Associated Press, the legislation calls for the federal government to spend more on clinical trials on menopause, as well as hormone therapy that is used to treat hot flashes and other symptoms. And we have a clip of Halle Berry being very passionate about this at the press conference.
I'm in menopause! Okay? And that's why I'm having this issue!
Yeah.
You know, and she was saying that when she started having issues related to menopause, it felt like the doctor was even afraid to say the word.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, we have to talk about this very normal part of our life that happens. Our doctors can't even say the word to us, let alone walk us through the journey. And so, yes, menopause.
Hard endorse on this one. It is a thing in my house, and it's not me. But the stuff that happens when women go through menopause that I'm reasonably aware kind of guy, right? There's sleeplessness, there's forgetfulness, there's all kinds of things that happen. It's not just hot flashes. And the degree to which this is actually taught in medical school is approximately zero. Let alone research after the fact. It's actually enormous, and it's well past time that we started looking at this.
It's sort of on the list of all of these issues that happen to women's bodies that are so under-researched and so underutilized, undertreated. Like, you know, I work on this mental health show, Call to Mind, and we've done a bunch of episodes from May Mental Health Month. One of them is on postpartum depression, right? 70% of people who give birth experience some form of postpartum depression or anxiety. They came up with a drug for it like within the last decade and a pill for it. And that drug, you have to like sit under with an IV for 60 hours.
Only
like in the last year has there been a pill medication. And this is something that is so extraordinarily common. It's wild.
You know, what's the saying, right? If men could get pregnant or if men could go through menopause, it would have been fixed 50 years ago, you know?
That part.
Totally.
And also, I've been seeing a lot of coverage about how, you know, more and more women are speaking out about how extraordinarily painful having an IUD put in is and how rarely you get anesthesia for it. And, you know, that... And yes, having had that procedure done myself, it's extraordinarily painful. And they're just like, oh, you don't have that many nerve endings there. You won't be able to feel it that much.
Oh, no.
Whatever.
Are you kidding me? Seriously?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yes, that's literally it. And so
more
research for all of these things,
more for all of that.
Taking women's pain seriously.
Totally. 100%. 100%. All right, that's it for the news. We are going to take a break and come back and do a little half full, half empty after, wait for it, this.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Jerez, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work. while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.
All right, we are back. It is time to play Half Full, Half Empty, hosted by the wonderful Drew Jostad. Take it away, Drew.
All right. Customers at Dave and Buster's locations will soon be allowed to place cash wagers on arcade games. God. Are you half full or half empty?
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me? So, first of all, Dave and Buster's is hell. Full stop. Also, is that what we need? Do people need that? And finally, either Indiana or Illinois has actually pushed back on that, and they're going to pass some law that says you can't do that because that's dumb.
I mean, how long before parents are placing bets on their kids' games at Chuck E. Cheese's? I mean,
right.
Forget
it. Hard pass. Empty, empty, empty.
Hard pass, all the way empty. Let's not. I mean, look, we have enough addictive things in our lives.
Right.
Like, do we have to bet on everything, says the person who's going to the races tomorrow? But I'm not going to be gambling.
Fair. That was right. Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
Oh, boy.
All right. What else you got?
Half full or half empty on the decline of desk phones.
Oh, so this is a story Megan McCarty-Garino did for Marketplace this week. Desk phones, those big consoles that receptionists and executive assistants sometimes have or had, because, you know, aren't too many of them in the office anymore, or even the little ones like on my desk, are just not getting used because, you know, mobile and other ways to communicate. Technology has passed those things by. I'm half empty. Do without.
Oh, so half empty on keeping them, you mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay, go ahead, landline lady. What do you have to say?
I don't have strong feelings about this. I occasionally dust off my desk phone when I'm in the office because it forwards automatically to my cell phone, and I'm just You know, I don't use it. Sometimes if I happen to be in the office, I will use it to dial out, but rarely. So, yeah, we don't need it.
Yeah.
I mean,
don't need it.
I shudder to think of all the plastic heading to landfills as these things go out of use. But maybe that means we stop making more and it's one less thing to make.
Yep.
Half full or half empty on pop-up co-working events.
I don't know what those are.
Speaking of Chuck E. Cheese's, I saw online where someone rented out a Chuck E. Cheese's for a co-working space for the day.
No
and
way.
Like 20 people showed
really?
Up. So this was a story. Was it on? Yeah, it was on Marketplace. But when I was hosting last week, about, you know, how people who are working remotely can get a little lonely. And so folks are renting out bars and other event spaces and just setting it up as a space for people to co-work to sort of have a little vibe session. And I think it's a great idea. Sure, why not? Get some business to small businesses and get people out of the house, hopefully make some new friends. Half full.
Yeah, I totally agree. Half full. Totally. Ooh, except Matthew Carroll says, no pop-up working events. I see enough of my colleagues during the day. Well, yeah, but that's, you're not who they're for.
Yes, but it's not for you.
Right, exactly.
All right, a new bill in the state of Florida will ban the sale of lab-grown meat. Are you half full or half empty?
Yeah, I heard this yesterday.
I'm half empty. I think
I'm half empty on the bill, and I'm half full on the lab-grown meat. Yeah.
Yeah. I think lab-grown meat is fine. Every week, I feel like I'm seeing a new story about how much smarter animals are than we realize they are. And if it's a way for us to, you know, be kinder to nature with hopefully less environmental impact, sure. And yes, I know now lab-grown meat is not less environmentally impactful, but hopefully with scale, things will get better.
It will be. We have to alter the food chain as part of the fight against global warming. We just have to.
Yes.
It also was not being sold anywhere in Florida.
Right.
It's not like it was.
Very important.
That part.
Okay, last
oh,
one.
Oh, boy. All right, ready for the poll
right,
in the chat.
Here we go, peeps.
Okay. The question is, are you half full or half empty on Unfrosted, which is Jerry Seinfeld's new Pop-Tart-themed movie on Netflix? And also, if you want to throw in any thoughts about the product as protagonist film genre in general.
Oh, like Tetris and...
Tetris, Air, BlackBerry.
Air, which was the story of how Nike landed Michael Jordan and wound up making those sneakers, but it was actually about the landing of Michael Jordan, not the sneakers. That was a great film. That was a really, really good movie, I thought.
Oh, and also the Barbie movie, which is ish.
Oh, and the Barbie
sort
movie,
of
yeah.
About the product,
yeah.
But not really. I mean, kind of, but I tend to like historical dramas, you know, and movies that take a historical event and kind of like make it movie-ish. Like, what was the one about the Iranian hostage crisis?
Argo,
yeah. Like
Ben Affleck, yeah.
As long as we recognize that, you know, there's creative liberties taken, I do like those kinds of movies. And it's interesting to get a little behind the scenes on things that happened, you know. And often it inspires me to go and read a little bit more deeply. I mean, Oppenheimer was kind of like that, right? You know, there all the sort of knock on think pieces about that movie, highlighting what the movie left out, what the movie glossed over, what, you know, all those things. So I kind of enjoy those sort of historical looks at events and products. Sure, why not? I ate a great many Pop-Tarts growing up, name brand and off brand.
I didn't have a Pop-Tart till I got to college.
That makes sense. I mean, you're probably better off for it.
Well, that's probably true.
But
I don't think you're going to learn anything from this Pop-Tart movie, though.
Yeah, no, it is not going to be. It is not one of the. Oh, do you not know the premise of it? Yeah, it's about Pop-Tarts, but it's not really about Pop-Tarts. It's about this mythical, semi-fictionalized thing. Yeah.
All right, anyway, so we got 150 votes. Actually, going to be about the story behind Pop-Tarts.
Oh, hell no. Hell no.
Gosh, I guess I have to read up more on this. Okay. Well, all right. So let's look at the poll.
Let's close that poll.
I love this.
We got 155 votes in. What?
Toxic says toaster strudel is Pop-Tarts done correctly. I agree with that.
Right.
Definitely prefer the toaster strudels over the Pop-Tarts.
Totally.
I guess I will be half empty.
You're going with the crowd. So 160 votes, 159 votes, half empty, 62%, half full, 37%. I'm all the damn way empty on this thing. Jerry Seinfeld has too much money and too much time on his hands and just can't, just, why? What are you doing? And also the B-movie? Shut up. Come on, man. All right, that's it. That's it for me. That's my rant.
Strong feelings there. Okay.
Yeah, just, you know. The cultural zeitgeist is messed up enough without Seinfeld doing something like this. That's all I got.
Now I really have to go and see what this movie is about.
Also, hey, you kids, get off my lawn. All right. So that was that.
Yes, we are done.
There we go.
All right. That is it for us today. I will be back on Monday with Amy Scott. If you have a question or a comment for us, you know how to reach us. Leave us a voicemail at 508-UB-SMART or email us at makemesmart@marketplace.org.
Make Me Smart is produced by Courtney Bergseeker. Today's episode was engineered by Jake Cherry. Our intern is Thalia Menchaca.
The team behind our Friday game is Emily McCune, Jamila Huxtable, and Antoinette Brock. Marissa Cabrera is our senior producer. Bridget Bodner is the director of podcasts, and Francesca Levy is the executive director of digital and on demand. I forgot to take my allergy medicine today, so now I'm all sniffly.
The spring allergy season has come and gone in Los Angeles.
Did you get the pretty trees, though?
No, I haven't seen the jacarandas yet. I haven't. No, I haven't seen them yet.
When do they bloom?
Gotta be soon.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.